Well, today I have, again, something really simple to share. It's about Christians. It's about Christians being together. And I'd like to begin with this set of verses from Ephesians. And, you know, when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, this verse applies to you. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. So when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not alone. You're not a foreigner. You're not a stranger. You're not like a person without a country. You're not like a person that's living in something that is not your own country. But, you know, if you follow this verse, you're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. I'd like to review a little bit from last week. You know, these words are building and built together and joined together in verses 21 and 22. The picture is this. All of us here are like stones. And what God is doing to us is joining us together and building us together. And if you look at the words in the original Greek language, these are masonry words. So there's kind of like, you know, stones with different odd shapes and different protrusions, and they're not fit for being a part of a wall. And what a mason has to do is he has to come and chop off all of the, the protrusions, and he has to bore a hole into the stone and stick a dowel rod in there and fill that hole with lead, and then bore a hole in another stone, stick it, you know, so the dowel rod can stick in, and somehow they get lead into that too. I don't know how, but when you look at it all, it's a wall. It's not an isolated stone. And if you ask, what happens in my Christian life? That happens in your Christian life. So if Charles, James, Bryce, Nick, if you could come up here. Sorry. Thank you for your, you know, sacrifice. It's kind of like this. Just think about this. Okay. And again, you guys are like this. Stand like this. Oh, by the way. Yeah. Charles just had a baby 2 weeks ago. So congratulations. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Okay. So, so this is the picture. You know, if you're a Christian, there are schemes of Satan that will operate in your life and just take you out of following the Lord. Even they could take you out of a normal course of life, and you're just walking along. You walk along, walk along, walk along, and then all of a sudden the scheme of Satan comes and just pushes. And it doesn't happen all the time. We're not always under it, but you got a week where you just feel, wow, the winds are blowing. Sometimes you have 6 months and you just feel like, whoa, these winds are blowing. I don't know if I can really take it. And you want to stand here, and then it just pushes you away. Eventually. And what God's thought is, come here, James, is to put you next to believers. Okay. Can you all step up two steps? Thank you. Thank you. Put you next to believers. Okay. Just stay a little like that. And then, again, you're next to believers. Say you're going Sunday morning, every Sunday. And Satan just comes by. And still, the wind of Satan can just come by. Just knock you down. But then you need Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Sorry, 21 and 22. Join together. Built together. And then something happens with you. You're not just next to a believer. Oh, you're already hooked. Okay. And if you're next to this guy, I mean, come on. And then, you know, Satan comes by. And he just, all of his might, all of his power, all of his wind. And he's like. And then he just says, okay, I give up. And he stands there. He stands there. What is this person? Not a stranger and a sojourner. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. And you can see there's something powerful there. There's something strong there. There's something that can last decades there. There's something that you can say, wow, my whole life is a life of following the Lord, of having the Lord absolutely one, absolutely the center. It's not my power. What's the secret? It's this. It's this. It's this. So when the wind blows, there. And then when the wind blows, here. And then all of a sudden, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. What a difference between an isolated Christian out there. Just look at this. Just look at it. Unhook. Unhook. What an easy target. You got a bad day. The caffeinated coffee ran out. No M&Ms in the candy machine. And you're just about to forsake the Lord. What a difference. Building and joining. Thank you. You can all sit down. I'd like to talk about how to get here. And two things that are necessary before this, before we talk about joining, before we talk about knitting. And this is not a theory. It's not supposed to be a great message. I'd like every one of us to have this kind of life. Life. Number one. This at the very end. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives. These three words. By his Spirit. Spirit. Some versions say, you're being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. And there's something about this that is spiritual. Spiritual. And let me tell you, this is the first step to this kind of life. Spiritual. You cannot take an unspiritual person and put them into a spiritual experience. It doesn't work. That way you can have all the theory, all the doctrine, all of the teaching, all the right moves. And in your heart, it's so cold. And you know what? Then you just have no idea what we were just talking about. No idea. It's an experience of spirit. That's the first step. And in a lot of ways, it's a very personal thing. You can be in a group of people and miss it. Or you can be in a group of people and really have this experience of spirit. Let me tell you. What is an experience of spirit? It's I personally touch the Lord. I personally do it. I personally know him. I personally have had his shining. And I love the songs that we sang today. I love them because, oh, this is us. How much God has prepared. How many blessings, spiritual blessings, he is willing to give. And there's a great experience where you're just privately alone with God. And you just say, Lord, give me your grace. Lord, give me that grace. Lord, this is a great prayer. If you prayed this prayer, you're close to being spiritual. Lord, I can't. I can't. Lord, I can't love you. Lord, I can't find you. Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I can't handle it. Lord, I can't love my wife. Lord, I can't submit to my husband. Lord, I can't stand my boss. That might be easier. Lord, I can't do this. And Lord, I can't handle my life. I can't handle my insides. I need you. I need you. And you start to realize what a spiritual person is. I like to do this. I've given this testimony before. I called the Lord unfair. It was about 2.5 months ago, 3 months ago. I was like, you know what? I study the Bible with groups of people, sometimes 5 hours per day. 5 hours per day. Mason, can you believe that? Can you believe that? Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. Thank you. Okay. And if I do not spend at least 2 minutes in the morning, the first thing I do when I wake up, reading the Bible a little bit with a few verses, just by myself and Jesus. You know what? I don't feel full. And I said, Lord, you are not fair at all. What do you mean? I'm studying this that much. But I still need time with you. Bryce said, yes. That's right. Sometimes I don't study that much. I still need that time. It's amazing. A little time with the Lord in the morning. You let Him shine. You know what happens? You start to know that Spirit. Second thing. Christ Jesus Himself is the cornerstone. I like that cornerstone analogy. You know, when a people build a building, what they do first is they lay the cornerstone. They lay the cornerstone, and then every block, every stone, every feature could be traced back to that cornerstone. The position, the trueness, the angles, the distance, everything is laid back to the cornerstone. And you know what that picture is? That's a picture of Christ Jesus. Where it's not just that, okay, I want to get this area of my life right with Jesus. No, it's every area of your life right with Jesus. So that it's not just, this is my, Christian element of my life. And then I have my other life. No. Let me tell you, when you become a Christian, you have received somebody, Jesus Christ, who wants to invade your whole life. So that everything in your life begins to be measured by, where is Jesus in relation to that? Where am I in relation to Jesus? These two things. And these are more personal. Spirit, the Lord is your cornerstone. Why do I go to school? Because of Jesus. Why do I work? Because of Jesus. Why do I drive a Mazda MPV minivan? Because of Jesus. Why do I drive a Honda Civic? Because of Jesus. Why did I wear these pants today? Because of Jesus. Why did I treat my wife that way? Because of Jesus. Why do I raise my kids that way? Because of Jesus. Why did I buy the house where I bought it? It wasn't because of the best price. It was because of Jesus. And you start to have this life where, you know, everything is measured by Jesus. And then, at that point, we can talk about building. Cornerstone, Spirit, and you start to talk about building. You know, you're close to people. You're close to people. And you start to get connected, joined, and built up with them. You know, let me tell you something. Most of you know this. Jesus is not only for Sundays. It's kind of like this, you know. Jesus is for your whole life. He is with you in so many areas. And the more areas that Jesus is with you, the more this building kind of happens, and the more connecting happens, the more spiritual you become, the more joined in. And I'd like to just, you know, for this kind of picture, I'd like to look at how many times Jesus was in a house. And how many times the church is mentioned as taking place in the house in the New Testament. And I think it's a really good handle. How can I get the Lord to enlarge himself in my life? I would say, you know, you need Sunday mornings, but also have Jesus in your house. Dave, can I use you as an example? Okay, come on. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I apologize for you sitting up here in the second row. Okay. See, this is what some people think. Okay. Here on Sunday, here church Sunday, it's right. Like, you know, and then grace. And where Jesus is right here. Okay. Jesus is right here. And then some people think this is going home. Now go home. Okay. I'm Jesus. I'm beside him. Grace. Now go home. Okay. Some people think it's like that. Okay. Then come back to Jesus. Okay. Grace. Yeah. Okay. But actually, it's not like that. Okay. Sing. Grace.
Grace.
Yeah. Okay. Now we're done. Say hi. Hi. Yeah. Okay. Now you're going to go home.
Whoa.
You can go home. You see?
I didn't expect that. I thought you'd stay there.
You see? He's right with you all the time. And when you come here, it's just a little bit clearer. We know each other really well. So actually, I was just in your house, so we can do that. Yeah. We it's just right there. And there was, you know, and this is the foundation of the church. It's not just what happens Sunday morning. It's what happens with you and Jesus in your house. Let's look at a few examples. You know, there was this man called Levi. He became one of the 12 disciples, Matthew. And Jesus saw him on the at his tax office. He was a tax collector. And he called him. And, after Levi was called by Jesus, he did this wild thing. Listen to this. Then Levi, this is Luke 5:29, had a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. I love this picture. It's kind of like this. You know what kind of friends Levi had? Tax collectors, others. They weren't supposed to be the most holiest guys. They were probably full of, I don't know, maybe they would tell stories of extortion, tell stories of how much money they took from this person, what they did with the money. And you know what Levi did? He invited Jesus right into the midst of that. And one thing that I'm going to ask the Lord when I see him, what in the world did you talk about during that time? Because could you imagine Levi with all these tax collectors and then Jesus was there? And then, I don't know, I don't think they were uncomfortable, but I don't know what they talked about. You know, maybe there were some jokes that were like, you know, did you ever tell a joke and then it was obviously like just the wrong audience, the wrong, you know, maybe there was that kind of thing. It was like, but anyway, Levi just invited him right into his life, warts and all. That's Jesus. That's having him in your house. Same thing. When Jesus reached the spot, was Zacchaeus, Luke 19:5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." at your house. You know, imagine if Jesus came to your house. Oh, Lord. You know, at that time. Some people, they have kind of like two lives. There's my Christian life, and then there's my life. And this kind of picture, it kind of invites Jesus right into your life. He was also an extortioner. Zacchaeus stole things from people he shouldn't have. And he made a promise, if I've taken anything, I'm going to restore, and I will give half my possessions away. But you know how that happened? Jesus came in to his house. And there's not two lives. It's just one life. Sometimes there are things in people's houses that they really want to throw away. And they're like, I want to get around to that, throwing that away, you know. And then one time I was moving, helping this brother move. And then I saw some stuff, and then he was like, oh, yeah. Can you just put that in the garbage, please? And I was like, sure, I'll put that in the garbage. And then there's kind of a feeling of relief. Oh, that's in the garbage. I don't know. This brother was pretty amazing, because if I were him and I knew that I saw what I saw, I would be embarrassed. But, you know, he wasn't embarrassed. Praise the Lord. Just got it out. But you know what? Jesus was in his house. And same thing with Zacchaeus. You know, a lot of times, Jesus taught in a house. Matthew 13:36, then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. And then, you know, Jesus was teaching publicly, but he didn't just teach publicly. When he taught publicly, it was a parable, hardly understandable. There was weeds in a field, and he was saying things to people, and it depended on their heart whether they got them or not. Then Jesus came into a house, and the disciples asked him this very intimate question. I like this. Lord, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. And probably just, he didn't have to yell. He was just there speaking. And wow, what a personal time Jesus had in that house. And, you know, they got clear on a lot of things. There are a lot of other examples. If you would take all the teaching that Jesus gave in the house, it would be a significant part of his ministry. Where did he say, I am the vine, you are the branches? In a house. Where did he wash the feet of Peter? In a house. Where did he explain the parables, the mysteries that he talked about? In a house. Where did he heal Simon's mother-in-law? In a house. A lot of times, Jesus was not for big programs, for big, public gatherings. Although he had a few, but a lot of his effort, a lot of his ministry took place house after house after house after house. And it's the same thing with the church. Look how, you know, the first church operated, Acts 2:46, every day. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. I like this. I like to eat chicken legs with you all. What? That's what happens in that first example. You know what they were doing in Acts? They were breaking bread in their homes. Some versions say from house to house. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. There's something about Christians and maybe some non-Christians joining in. You're just sitting around the dinner table, eating chicken legs, broccoli, potatoes, typical meal. And the thing is that inside of each of the persons that are sitting around that table, It's the Holy Spirit. And you're not just a, a member of an organization together, but you really get to talk to one another. Sometimes it's spiritual conversation, or sometimes it's conversation directly about the Lord. Sometimes it's just conversation about, like, who you are, what's going on, what you like. But there's something there that just is kind of like puts you together. I remember Bathsheba is not here this morning. I love this story. She was around my table one time, and a number of us were talking, and then somehow, Charles, I think you were there. Were you there? We were talking about baptism. Maybe James, were you there? Maybe. Yeah. I think it was, anyway, somebody like that. This was about 3 years ago. And then we were just talking, and then there was some talk about baptism that came up, and then we were talking about something, maybe just some, I don't know, not the Browns, because I can't quote figures on the Browns, but maybe politics or something else. And then it was interesting. While we were talking, eating chicken legs, then Bathsheba was like, baptism? I've never been baptized. And then right around that table, it was kind of like God, we saw God move in her heart. And then how did that come out? It just sat setting house to house. And you know what? About one year later, she was baptized. And where did the seed of that baptism happen? In a house. Yeah. It's house to house, house to house. I like this. When they had dawned on, Acts 12:12. When this had dawned on him, this is Peter after he got out of prison, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. You know, Peter was in jail. There was a problem. Oh, Peter got put in jail. And then there wasn't a kind of like, okay, let's all get together at the temple and we're going to have the official prayer. No. Mary's like, hey, you guys, you got to come over to my house. Let's pray right here. And then Peter came to their house. What is this? There's not two lives. It's one life. One life. You know what my life is for? It's for the Lord. You know where the church is? Church is in my house. Church is in my house. And then four times in the New Testament, look at Philemon 2. Also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Church that meets in your home. You know, I like to rephrase this. I will try to change the Bible. It doesn't work, but instead of church that meets in your home, I'll say this. It's the church that meets in your life. You bring the church into your home. You know what? You brought the church into your life. Life. Our houses are the place to live for the Lord. And you kind of have this picture of how do you get built together? It's around dinner tables. It's in homes. It's in settings. All kinds of settings. Surely we need big settings, but all kinds of settings where you just realize, wow, I'm being built together. We're spiritual. We have Christ as a cornerstone. We're being built together. It's like, you know, can I use your example? Yeah, Beth and Dave just invited Rose and I over to their home Thursday night. And you know what? I feel like I know them so much more. And then, what's that? We even had chicken legs. Yeah. That was great. And then, been in Stephen and Zella's home so much. I don't even know how many times been in your, and just feel like, wow, I just feel like it's just a knitting. You know, maybe you have you don't have a decent home. Maybe you're like a college student and you have a little hole somewhere. I don't know where you live. But let me give you a secret. You can get a lot of free food. Let me tell you how to get a lot of free food. Yeah. see Felicia back there? She just go up to Felicia. Hey, Felicia, I'm hungry. Can we come over to your house sometime? And then, we'd like to hear how you got to know the Lord. And we want to eat your chicken. Felicia, give me an honest answer. Would you say yes or no? Oh, there you go. There you go. Okay. You know, there's this kind of thing because, you know, you don't need to have a home to enjoy a home. Oh, yeah. By the way, then when you go over to Felicia's house, just like do the dishes. If you don't have a home, you know, like, yeah, be nice about it anyway, that kind of stuff. But you just taste this kind of life, where, you know, it's not just plugging in, plugging out, but no, I've been in your home. I know you. We pray together. We know each other, you know, and, you know, maybe you say, well, this doesn't work with a house, but it's the same with coffee. It's the same with other stuff, but it really is something special. I would say it's something special in the house. I've told this story a lot. One time I had people over, and I heard my kids just laughing so hard in the back room. I was like, what is going on? And this is about 4 years ago when Daniel Kim was still here, and my kids were just laughing. And here they were looking up out the window, and then Daniel's son was throwing snowballs at them, like throwing snowballs onto the window at them. And then I looked later on, and that kid broke my window. And then I was like, I can't believe that. And then I was like, praise the Lord. You know what? The brothers and sisters were in my house. And it was really the Lord's sovereignty because I just got new. I ordered new windows. You know, about 2 months later, not because of the kid broke them, but we were getting, you know, energy efficient windows in our house. So it all worked out. Anyway, it's great to have this kind of, you know, together. And what it does, you may think, we just had chicken legs. We just had chicken legs. But actually, Charles, James, Peter, come on. Oh, yeah. No, I get Nick. Yeah. Just to end, you think, you know, we just had chicken legs. That's it. We got to know each other. We talked maybe a little bit about the Lord. I don't know what happened. There were no fireworks. It was an okay meal. But you know what happened? You know, 1 week, you're eating chicken legs with Charles. And then in a month, wait a minute, Charles didn't come. I haven't seen him for 2 weeks. Who's going to notice? It's these guys. And then when they notice, what are they going to start to do? They start to pray. And then what are they going to start to do? They're going to give him a call. And then when Satan just tried to do this with him, they're like, Charles, no, you can't go that way. No, just get through, you know, you got to get through, keep faithful to the Lord, keep trying to preach the gospel, it'll get better. And then all of a sudden, you know what? He's still there. And how did that happen? Just some dinner table. That's right. It's like, I'm going to come back for that. Yeah, that's right. So it's a very simple message. Thank you. You can sit down. Yeah. And it's really a way to touch, you know, what happens in that verse in Ephesians, you know, and then, you know, you touch this kind of life. I'll go back to Ephesians 2:22. In him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You touch it. It seems so simple. It's just Christians getting together. But you realize, wait a minute, I'm really firmly connected here. And number two, God dwells here. And that makes it so distinct. It's so simple. But at the other hand, you say, this is so profound. This is It's where God dwells. God dwells here. And this is the most profound thing you touch in your whole life. So just end there. Let's just have a little prayer and then can have announcements.